Chapter 15. And you'll see me probably a lot of times put glasses on, take them off, put them on, take them off. And my eyes, they're still have a little problems. I'm supposed to see hopefully a physician at the VA sometime in the next few weeks, maybe get me some better glasses. But Acts chapter 15, we're going to skip down to verse 35 and 40, and I'll tell you why as soon as we read these verses and pray, okay? So Acts chapter 15, verse 35, and Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, with the testimonies we've heard, Lord, concerning blossoms. Amen. And concerning agape. And Lord, these are just two of the places here in Hope Mills that we support. Blossoms, Lord, was started here with you, Lord, at Harvest Baptist Church, Lord, and the blessings that we've seen from it. And Lord, for the missionaries and the missions we support. Lord, it's all because of you. And Lord, we pray in the days to come that we'll be able to take on more and more and more. Because Lord, that's the important thing, is getting the gospel out to each and every creature. That's what you said in your word. And Lord, we want to be a part of that. So God, help us. Help me tonight, Lord, as I preach. Lord, help me to be your mouthpiece, Lord. Fill me and give me what you would have. Give me what you would have to say that comes from you, not from Dave Thomas. So Lord, help us tonight. Lord, if there's anybody amongst us tonight that does not know you as Savior, Father, I pray tonight will be the night of salvation for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. I just want to do a little recapping from last week. We're continuing our series tonight, of course, The Persecutor Becomes the Persecuted. And we're talking mainly about Paul and how God has used Paul and continues to use Paul. And of course, as you know, if you know anything about the Bible, Paul, he was Saul. He was a religious man, but what did he do? What was he notorious for? He was notorious for going and persecuting Christians, the one who were preaching the name of Christ. We saw a few things last week. We saw, first of all, the costly commitment. Paul was stoned by the people who were stirred up by the Jews, and these Jews were religious people. But look, they didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus Christ. They didn't want the word of Jesus Christ even being spread. So they were doing what Saul did when he was going out persecuting. And it's amazing how what Saul did, and now he's got saved and he's Paul now, and how Paul is going through experiencing the things that he used to do unto others. Not only did we see the costly commitment, we see the courage to encourage. Paul and Barnabas went back to the places where they were to encourage the saints and to set up leadership for the churches. And it just occurred to me that what Pastor preached this morning was based on what was done last week and even tonight as we talk. It's setting up leadership for the churches. Remember, everything has to be in order. Remember this, order, order, order. Amen. We don't want to have a chaotic church. We don't want to have things out of in chaos. Bible says he's not the author of confusion. So if he's not the author of, who is? Amen. And we definitely don't want Satan working in the churches. Amen?
Amen.
But we see that they had the courage to encourage. Also, we saw the calls for return. They sailed back to Antioch to give their first missions report. And as you, as we have read some weeks ago, Antioch is where they were sent out from. So it was necessary to hear the report. That's the reason every service I'll try to get to read a missionary letter to where we are hearing from what's going on their side, what's going on the field where they're at. I mean, it's a blessing to hear of numerous people being saved and numerous people being baptized.
Amen.
And that's what Paul and Barnabas are returning back for. They said, look, let me give you a report on what's going on, how many people were saved, the baptisms, things that are going on. And here in chapter 15, I know I didn't read the whole verse, but let me just give you some background on what's happening in chapter 15 here. First of all, we see the problem of works for salvation being taught. In verse 1, if you go back to verse 1 of chapter 15, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Let me tell you something, people. Works is not going to get you to heaven. Works will not get you to heaven. And I'll go as far as to say this. If you believe that getting to works is going to get you to heaven, then to me you're blaspheming the name of God, the name of Christ. Why? Because you're saying that what He did on the cross was not sufficient.
Right.
And if you're saying that, if you're saying that Jesus, what He did wasn't sufficient, then you're making out the whole New Testament to be a lie.
Right.
And you can't do that and not blaspheme Jesus Christ. You cannot do that and not blaspheme God. Why? Because when He was on the cross, He said, it is finished.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of what?
Works,
lest any man should boast. But now you've got these Jews coming in. Remember, the Gentiles are being saved, and now the Jews are coming in saying, oh look, now, you say you're saved, but you got to do this and that and the other. You've got to be circumcised after the manner of Moses. And also, you got to do these ceremonial things. And you know what? That's some of the things that's being taught today is works for salvation.
Amen. Amen.
And people, let me say this. There's a lot of people going to go to hell because they believe they did the works
right
to get to heaven.
Amen.
But when they stand before Jesus, and He says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you.
Yes.
The works are burned up, people.
Yeah, right.
The works are burned up. So we see the problem of works for salvation. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:8, like I said a while ago, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is based on what Jesus Christ did and Him alone.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
He gives us the faith to believe. Let me tell you something. You've got to believe. Don't trust in yourself.
That's so true.
Don't trust in yourself. Why? Because we still see Him mess up.
Yep. Right.
We've got to trust in the one and only.
Thank you.
And I'm going to tell you, there's only one true God.
Amen.
There's not many gods. There's only one.
Amen.
That's the difference between religion and a relationship with Jesus Christ. One, religion teaches work salvation. And if that's the case, if you have to work to get your salvation, then you will definitely lose it.
Right.
You know that?
Right.
If we have to work for salvation, we will definitely lose it.
Amen.
The relationship with Christ is this. The finished work of Christ was done once and for all men. Simply trusting on what Christ has done, not works that we will do. We are kept by the fire of God.
Amen.
And that's eternal security.
Amen.
Once saved, always saved. Amen.
Amen.
And you know what? I'm so glad we can rely on what Jesus did.
Amen.
Because Lord knows, with my mind and with my age, I mean, I could set something down, it'll be lost. Can you imagine if I was saved by works? If I could lose it, I'd lose it within the first 5 seconds. I guarantee you, I'd sit there and I'd take off somewhere. And where did my salvation go? Anybody seen my salvation? Huh? There's a lot of people out there who are confused. Because that's what they've heard is works for salvation. That's right, brother. False teachings.
That's right.
Amen.
A lot of people are confused. Just as there's people confused about their salvation because of Calvinistic teaching.
Amen.
Amen. Did you know that? I guarantee you there's people out there who's under some Calvinistic teaching, and one day they're thinking, wow, am I really saved? Am I really a child of God? Did He really choose me?
Huh.
You remember seeing on the movies years ago, maybe the Little Rascals, where Alfalfa was out there and he was picking a flower, petal of a flower. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. Well, anybody with a Calvinistic background who believes that is sometime in their life going to say, he loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. See, well, he's not the author of confusion.
Amen.
He's not the author of confusion.
Amen.
And let me tell you, that will cause a lot of mass confusion.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Like I said, religion teaches works for salvation. Relationship with Christ is based on the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus
Amen.
Christ. And simply trusting on what Christ has done, not what we have done.
Amen.
The controversy raised at Antioch by Judaizing teachers who would have all believing Gentiles brought under the yoke of circumcision and the ceremonial law. Turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now this is Jesus. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You want a big burden? Then depend on your works for salvation. Depend on your works to get you to heaven, because that's a big, huge burden. Amen? And that's a burden that is totally false.
Amen.
That's a burden you don't need to carry because Jesus has done it all.
That's right.
Jesus has done it all.
Hallelujah.
Paul and Barnabas also had a great dissension and debate against this false doctrine for the Gentiles. Now as we go on down, and look, I'm not reading these verses because of time tonight, but a consultation was held with the church in Jerusalem concerning this matter, and the sending of delegates to present the truth. The delegates consisted of Paul, Barnabas, and others. You find that in verses 2 through 6. And then you see the preaching of Peter, verses 7 through 11. Peter asked these who were preaching this circumcision, why do you tempt God with this nonsense? They get saved the same way we do.
Amen.
But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they.
Amen.
So Peter stands up and says, hey, why is this nonsense going on? Why is this being allowed?
Amen.
Then we see the proposal of James in verses 13 through 21. James stands up and basically declares this, that circumcision and observance of the ceremonial law by no means be imposed on the Gentiles who were saved, not even recommended or mentioned it to them.
Amen.
And then we see the purpose of the letter that is sent. To console the newly converted Gentiles. We don't want any to lay any unnecessary burdens on you. But these things you ought to do. See, when these things came to the Gentiles, you have to remember now, the Gentiles were totally separate from the Jewish and what the Jews did and what the Gentiles did. So when this stuff started coming on the Gentiles, the only thing they know is believe on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And now these Jews come down and say, oh, we're going to add some more. They're totally confused.
That's right.
And now all these questions are coming about, well, what's going on now? Did we trust the wrong thing? Are we doing the right way? Or what's going on? And so they hear this, and so they said, the disciples said, look, we're going to fix this once for all. Because they, being newly converted, they don't need to be confused.
No, they don't.
Let me tell you something. One of the ways to get somebody down and out is to confuse them.
Right.
Is to confuse them.
Yeah.
And Satan, that's what he wants to do.
Amen.
Especially to new converts. He wants to confuse them. He wants to wrap them up in a ball of confusion to where they'll say, oh, I give up. I'm done. I'm done. And so we see that the church is going to say, hey, look, we're going to help these.
Amen.
We're going to disciple them because they need to know the truth.
Amen.
But they said, let's tell them a few things so we can set this right. Okay. So one of the things they explained to him is abstain from meat offered to idols. And you can see this down in verses 16, I believe. Well, hold on a second. I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 29 of chapter 15, it says that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourself, ye shall do well. Fare ye also, or fare ye well. So they give a few things here to say, look, this is what you need to do. The Jews are saying this, and they're confusing y'all, but here's basically what you need to do. This is going to help y'all. And look, in discipleship, that's what we need to do with our converts, to say, look, start them off with the basics. Start them off with the basics. If you start them off real high up there and they don't understand, you're going to lose them.
That's right.
That's the reason when we go out soul winning, look, we make it plain. John 3:16 is about as plain as you can make it.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And so we try to make it plain, because if we go out there and start using, we had a guy at Dad's church years and years ago, where, well, actually God's church, but where Dad pastored at. We had a guy that said, brother, you're using them $1 million words. I don't understand. So Dad would have to break it down. And that's what we need to do with new converts. We need to break it down. We need to make it plain and simple.
Amen.
And so that's what they did here. They said, like I said, verse 29, they keep abstain from the meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. So they go down there. Paul, like I said, Paul and Barnabas had a great dissension with this. Then the consultation was held at the church in Jerusalem. But after hearing these words, the Gentiles rejoiced for the consolation. We see these brethren exhorting and encouraging these new converts. New converts, as I said, should be consoled and when they are encouraged in the things of God. Look, when someone gets saved, don't leave them behind.
Amen.
Don't leave them behind. What if we were dropped off at elementary school and we went in there to learn our ABCs and their teacher said, okay, learn the alphabet, and she just sits down? What you going to learn? You're not going to learn anything, are you?
No.
What if you go to a class to learn math? And the teacher says one thing. She says, one, now learn the rest of your numbers. How are you going to operate in life? Not know what comes after one. Your additions, your subtractions, your multiplications, maybe your divisions. Not going to know anything, are you? So, that's the reason I'm saying discipleship is important. Start with the basics. You know, you got to start with the milk of the Word, and then you go on giving them the meat as they learn. And I'm going to tell you this. You're never too old to learn.
Amen.
I'm still learning. I'm still learning about the things of God. And I believe that when I get to heaven, I'm probably going to learn things faster.
Amen.
Now, as we get down to verse 35 of this chapter, we're going to start in. But I just want to give you a history background of what led up to this verse 35 now. So, couple things I want us to see. Number one, I want us to see the continuation of preaching the gospel. In verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. In verse 35, we find that Paul and Barnabas are continuing to preach the gospel. Notice they didn't stop. The gospel must go on. Amen?
Amen.
The sharing of the gospel is important in two ways. Number one, it warns the sinner of an everlasting torment in hell, and it also tells of a Savior's love with an eternity with Him in heaven. But how important is it to a believer? Does that person share the gospel with others? Is it that person's lifestyle a complement to his or her salvation? Does that believer promote the furtherance of the gospel by telling others, praying for others, and helping financially the missionaries who we support, and sharing the word with others in other parts of the world? When it comes to the gospel, shutting mouths of believers will ensure impending doom for non-believers. Let me say that again. When it comes to the gospel, shut mouths of believers will ensure impending doom for non-believers.
Amen.
How important is the gospel to you? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He knew it, but he also wanted others to know it. Amen. He didn't discuss last week's football game or NASCAR race or the economy. He discussed Jesus. What's the topic of your conversation? Is it Jesus? To cross the finish line, you have to continue the race. That race is telling others about Jesus Christ. I love what Brother Terry said Wednesday night. If you've gotten out of it, get back into it. It's like racing. If you go on a race, you watch a marathon, you see somebody fall, or you see somebody stop and get a drink of water, did they go back to the start line again to start all over?
No.
They keep on going. They stop. They may stop for a little bit, but they get back on the race and continue the race, right? They don't go all the way back to the starting line. Look, we don't need to be saved again. We're saved once and for all.
Amen.
But let me encourage you this. If you're not sharing the Word, get back to it.
Amen.
Let me encourage you, do it.
Amen.
For those who can't go, maybe it's because of a physical problem. Maybe it's some other things that's hindering you beyond your control. There are things you can still do. You can pray.
Amen.
For those going out. You can send a tract through the mail.
Amen.
Everyone can contribute. And let me tell you this. If you do it that way, hey, what you're doing is just as important as we're going door knocking.
Amen.
Let me tell you this. If you look at a house from outside, the first thing you think of is what? The carpenters and how the carpenters and stuff did such a good job on the outside, right? Man, this is a nice house. But let me say this. What all was input to make that house a livable home? You had your carpenters. Look, you had your plumbers. You had your electricians. You had your floor installation workers. You had your concrete workers. You had your HVAC people. You had a lot of people. And every one of them was just as important as the other, wasn't
it?
I'd like to move in a nice looking house, but I want that house to have electricity. I want to have HVAC, especially come this week.
Amen.
One trade is just as important as the other. Same way with spreading the gospel. What you do in the furtherance of the gospel, whether it's giving to missions and praying or door knocking or sending a tract through the mail, all of it's important,
Amen.
People.
Amen.
Don't you think that one's less important than the other?
Right.
Not only that, I want to see the concern for the brethren. Paul makes a good proposal to Barnabas to go and review their work among the Gentiles, to go to the churches they planted to see what progress the gospel has made among them. Notice he makes the proposal to Barnabas, his friend and fellow laborer, to help in this work. We have need one of another and should be moved to ask for and lend assistance when needed. Amen? Two are better than one. Also notice Paul calls all Christians brethren. He has a concern for them in every city, everywhere that the brethren are the fewest and poorest and most despised and persecuted. I don't care if they're in a big mega church that preaches the gospel or if they're in a small country church that maybe have 10 or 20. The brethren. Amen?
Amen.
Those who preach the gospel should visit those to whom they have preached. Faithful ministers cannot have a tender concern for those to whom they have preached the gospel, that they may not bestow upon them to labor in vain. It is good for those that become newly converts to go and see how they're doing. Check, see how things are going with them. Ask them if they have any questions. You know, encourage them in the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you, Satan is going to do everything he
Amen.
Can.
Amen.
Everything he can to ruin them. I remember in the Air Force, and Brother Jim, you were in too, and you probably agree with this, but in the Air Force, we would have an exercise to get ready for an ORI, which is an operational readiness exercise or inspection. That's when headquarters would come down. Well, before the headquarters would come down, we would have exercises to prepare for this inspection. And afterwards, we would have what we call a how goes. Remember that, Brother Jim? would have a how goes it before this inspection would come down? Why would we have a how goes it? Because we would say, okay, this needs to be worked on. Or this needs to be taken care of. Or no, this is redundant. Maybe we can get by with doing this one time and not two or three times. See, we would do things to see how we could improve the mission. You see? And that's what we as believers need to get with our young converts and say, look, what it is that I can help you with to improve the mission. What's the mission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, what do they need? They need to be equipped, don't they?
Yeah.
And we need to have as much concern for new converts as a caring doctor who looks after his patients. And even more so, why? For doctors can only care for the physical, which is only temporary. We care for the spiritual, which is eternal. Amen? It is probable that Paul and Barnabas heard from these churches to see how they're doing. If they find them wavering, they were to correct them. If they're finding them steadfast, they encouraged them. They wanted to know what state they were in and leave them in a way that these churches were more encouraged to continue on for the cause of Christ. Lastly, I want us to see the contention between Paul and Barnabas. The disagreement between Paul and Barnabas was about an assistant to take with them. Barnabas wanted his nephew John, whose surname was Mark, to go along with them. Now remember, this is the same person who went with them in Acts chapter 12, verse 25, but left them to go back to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 13, verse 13. Barnabas determined to take him because of his relation, and Barnabas had shown great kindness and was concerned for his nephew. Paul opposed it because Mark left him, and Paul didn't want someone who's going to flip-flop. Paul wanted someone to go who would remain with them in the best of times and the harshest of times. He didn't want someone that's going to go for half the trip and just say, look, I've had enough and go back. Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in times of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And this disagreement was so sharp that they departed and went their separate ways. It is here that we see a humbling experience and yet a very instructive one. The very best of men are but men. Did you hear me? The very best of men are but men subject to like passions as we are. Perhaps Paul was too severe upon this young man. Maybe it did consider that Mark maybe went back to help his mother, who was very useful in Jerusalem. In fact, turn over to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. That's his mother. And she was being useful in Jerusalem in the work of God. Maybe Timothy maybe left to go back to help his mom. But maybe Barnabas was too demanding to take his nephew with them and would depart without him. But they were both at fault when they let this contention get so sharp they departed one from another with ill feelings toward one another. Remember this, people. Remember, Satan can and will use the smallest of space to disrupt, as a cockroach can find the smallest of cracks to enter a home. This is recorded for our admonition. Take heed lest you fall. Do not think it strange if there is any difference between good and wise Christians. Those who are united to the same Jesus will have different opinions, views, and apprehensions. Notice Paul and Barnabas were not separated by the persecution of the unbelieving Jews, but by an unhappy disagreement between themselves. But you know what? God still used this. What did Joseph say? He thought it for evil, but God meant for good. But let me say this too. Most church splits have been from within.
Amen.
Most church splits have been from within. We must ensure our hearts are in tune with the Holy Spirit every day. Amen. If there is a dispute between two brothers, Try to work it out amongst yourselves. And if you can't, then seek counseling together with the pastor or with assistant pastor. Amen. Don't let flesh get in the way.
Amen. Amen.
But I also want y'all to take note of this also. Sometime later on, Paul's view of Mark changed dramatically for the good. Did you know that? Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Paul says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark. That's the one they had left him. This is the same person in whom Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement with about taking. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. Listen to these words. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. Colossians 4:10. Turn over there. Colossians 4:10. Now, if I can't pronounce this word right, remember I'm from the South, and anything beyond three syllables or two syllables is hard for me, okay? Listen to this. Listen to what Paul says. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And who? Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he comes unto you, do what? Receive him. Receive him. You see, there's sometime or another in Paul's life, Paul's view about John Mark had changed. Had changed. And you know what? Let this be a lesson. Each and every one of us. Just because you disagree with somebody on something a little simple doesn't mean that you just should cast them off. Why do I say that? Because if they're a brother in Christ, if they're wrong, God's going to set them straight.
Amen.
If you're wrong, God's going to set you straight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen? So in closing, just bear with me, I've got a couple minutes here. Just in closing, those who we have broken off fellowship with, if afterwards they prove to be faithful, we should cheerfully receive,
Amen.
Forgive, and forget. And as the occasion rises, put in a good word for them and to them. Notice that when we looked at what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy and in Colossians, Paul put in a good word, didn't he?
Yes.
Not only that, God used this separation to the furtherance of the gospel. Even when something bad happens, good will come out of it. How do we know that? Because Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Look, this just didn't come up and surprise God. Whoa! They're disagreeing. What am I going to do? Nope. He knew exactly what was going to happen and how he was going to use it. Instead of Paul and Barnabas going together and have one team, there was two teams that went out. And it started burning like wildfire. You see, Pete? I'm so glad that God is God and that we're not. Because we would probably sit down and say, we just gonna have to start over. I'm dealing with humans. I'm just gonna have to start over. No, what did God do? God says, you know what? I got this. I got this. And you know what? This is going to double time the gospel now. It's going to double time what I want. And thank God, you know, look back on it, it looks like a bad story, but you know what? It turned out really good. And then what I have to say about that, look, sometimes bad things will come upon God's people. But remember this, they're all for His glory and honor, for our good. Something we should learn from. Don't discount it. Paul didn't discount it, did he? I don't think Barnabas discounted. I think later on Barnabas looked back and said, you know what, God was all in this. Even though we were fussing and fighting, God still used this for the furtherance of His kingdom. Look, don't give up on God, even through bad things, because why? It's still going to go on. He's still going on. You can't stop God.
Right.
You can't stop God. You can't stop the furtherance of the gospel. His gospel, His word's going to go on and on and on.
Amen.
Amen. I just want us to be a part of it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor. Amen.